If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver, all the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew, 30 seconds, that's it. Done. Peace.
B-Pod Studios.
Teen, they used the room to video sign sequences. Major League Baseball will commence an investigation. The Red Sox have just issued a statement. We were recently made aware of the allegations suggesting the inappropriate use of our video replay room. We take these allegations seriously and will fully cooperate with MLB as they investigate the matter. Headlines, they are brought to you by Brad Marchand's Bank, Avidia Bank. See how they're helping Metro West youth hockey players with assists for kids this season at avidiabank.com/giving. Avidia Bank, honest to goodness, member FDIC, member DIF. I'm Joe Murray on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update is in 30 minutes.
Got a DIY project? Tony Maz and Dan O'Brien can help. With the Tool Bags Podcast. Tweet them at Toolbags985 with your question. You can listen now on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com, the Sports Hub app, and wherever you download podcasts.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 985 The Sports Hub.
Big news of the day in New York. The New York Giants are finalizing a deal and will hire Joe Judge. Joe Judge will become the new head coach of the New York Giants, leaving the Patriots and going to the New York Giants. I feel like Joe Judge is not even someone that people in New England are all that familiar with. I mean, yes, Joe Judge's name came up plenty this season as the wide receivers coach, but is Joe Judge a household name in New England?
No.
The way Josh McDaniels is, or Bill O'Brien was, or Matt Patricia was.
I mean, I'll even throw Chad O'Shea in there. At least we knew who he was.
Yeah.
Oh, he did.
A little bit more, but not by much. I wouldn't call him household. No, this is a bit of a surprise, but it kind of speaks to something you and I were talking about earlier, Beetle, in that, and you and I have a disagreement on one of these coaches, but there are coaches getting jobs in this league right now where Ron Rivera, I think we both agree, deserved another shot at it. But a coach like Mike McCarthy, I don't know how he gets that Cowboys job based on the job he did with the Packers. Now, you feel that his body of work warrants another shot, but I'm surprised this doesn't happen even more often, where you find a guy like Joe Judge and say, nope, we've identified him as the guy who's got what it takes to be the head coach of our football team, whether it's with the Giants or somewhere else. And sometimes they come from college, and sometimes they come as an assistant from another club. But to me, it's a bolder move for sure, and it takes a little more imagination than just hiring Mike McCarthy like they did in Dallas, which I don't get, unless all they want is somebody who's going to do exactly what Jerry Jones tells them to do, in which case maybe that's what they think they've got in Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, I would just say this. Mike McCarthy won a Super Bowl. Mike McCarthy was in Green Bay for parts of 13 seasons. He has a winning record in his career.
Yeah, he had Aaron Rodgers.
He's got over 600 winning percentage. And in 8 of the 13 years, he had double-digit wins, which is what you're supposed to have when you have Aaron Rodgers. I get that. He had some disappointing seasons at the end in 2017 and then in 2018 when he was ultimately fired because I think he had lost the team, right? I think he had sort of lost his way there and wasn't getting the results from the team, and the team tuned him out, and obviously the quarterback had an issue with the coach. And I think if there's anything that's made Mike McCarthy look good after he left Green Bay is how whiny Aaron Rodgers clearly is to everybody. I mean, everyone looks at Aaron Rodgers and says, oh, God, stop complaining already. You do a lot of complaining. But I think there were seasons before that, the two back-to-back 10 and 6 years, where you could say, okay, those seasons are like just good enough. And I think there are real legitimate concerns about him calling plays offensively. I'd have an issue with his offense. But in terms of running a program, guy was the head of a program for a long time on a winning team. And yes, it fell apart at the end, but his resume as a head coach is deserving of another shot somewhere. And the Dallas Cowboys job should be a marquee job in this league, but it's not because of their owner, who has the need to be the guy in charge, has the need to be all about himself and have the spotlight on him and be able to talk to the media after every game and have his radio show there every week and have it all be about Jerry. And Jerry wants control over the football operation and is in there working the draft board and making calls on who they should get. That's a situation that doesn't exist everywhere. And so the only reason he's getting a marquee job like Dallas is because it's not all that marquee, and you've got to suck up and be a do boy for Jerry Jones.
It's still
and
a
that's why
it's
he's getting the job there.
It's still a marquee job. It's
yeah, not exactly. Not like it would be of Joe Judge with the New York Giants now.
You don't think the head coaching job of the Dallas Cowboys is a big job in this league?
No, I think it should, in theory, be a massive job, and it is a big job, but it's not you being the guy and running the football team because you have Jerry Jones. Sorry, the day-to-day in that head coaching gig is not the same as it is elsewhere. So the only reason a guy like Mike McCarthy is getting such a marquee brand to be associated with is because of the owner. But under normal circumstances, and an owner that wants to hire the best possible coach, they could do a lot better than Mike McCarthy in Dallas.
Okay, I thought you were higher on McCarthy based on our earlier conversation.
No,
they
I just think
like you are now.
I think that he's deserving of another job somewhere in the league. You know, if another team was to move on from their coach, you would think that he would get another shot over some guy who's never coached a day in the NFL. Mike McCarthy's biggest problem is his offense and the lack of play calling that is real. I mean, you want to talk about a guy that aggravates you. I'm sure this guy would aggravate you, Jim.
What do you think Dallas's issue was this year?
Part of it was the offensive play calling. So he needs, Kellen Moore has been like put on this pedestal as the next great thing. I'm curious to know what that staff's going to look like there, because I wouldn't let this guy
special run. Teams was bad. If you watched that Patriots game, that was probably one of the reasons why the Patriots ended up winning that game. Didn't even score 20 points.
But he deserves to run another team.
Yeah, I agree.
Over, would you rather have, if you're the Dallas Cowboys, do you want Joe Judge or do you want Mike McCarthy? If you're the Giants, if you're the New York Giants right now, who would be better for them, Joe Judge or Mike McCarthy, to gain some stability, something that they have lacked greatly there?
I think McCarthy would be a better fit
for
the Giants.
I agree. McCarthy would be better for them right now. Yeah. And that's why. That answers the question.
I just don't see it with McCarthy.
Ron Rivera is a good coach. Ron Rivera. Yeah. I would be happy to have Ron Rivera as my team's coach.
I think Ron Rivera is a solid coach, and they got a good coach in D.C. Lord knows what he's going to be able to do, again, with that owner and with that team. But just based on what he was able to do, you know, after the season where Aaron Rodgers broke his collarbone and they went 8-7, came back and he put together a 12-4 season. And after that, it was lackluster. 10-6, 10-6, 7-9, 6-9. With Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback.
Yeah, and that's why he ultimately got fired.
Right.
Well, they weren't on the same
team. So it went bad at the end.
Yeah, so why is he automatically the choice for the Giants or anyone else?
I don't think he was. I mean, he was out of work for a little bit here.
They interview with many different teams, too.
And what I'm saying is it wouldn't blow me away if he were still out of work, but he's not. He's got a job with the Cowboys, which, like it or not, is a big job in this league. You're talking about one of the three most important teams in this league, easily.
Maybe we can get into this on the other side, but think about everyone in Bill Belichick's tree now. I know Vrabel wasn't a part of it. He was a player, but Bill O'Brien, Flores, Patricia, McDaniels, now Judge. I mean, the Giants are taking a huge risk here. A huge risk. And there's a report that they might be interested in bringing Jason Garrett. I don't know if that's the best move for Garrett, but this might be a place for him to get that offense back on track and then go get a head coaching job. But here? I'm talking about with the Giants.
Oh, in New York. I'm like, you're talking about the Giants, right?
But that's a huge risk for them. Like, I think the safe bet would have been Josh McDaniels. They wanted Matt Rhule. Like, a guy straight out of college?
Not safe. not safe.
They like they made a I huge risk.
I appreciate the teams that do go outside of the retreads and do take the risk when they're in a position. Like Carolina, I think right now, taking Rule, they're coming off Ron Rivera, and they're looking for something new and fresh there. So like that to me makes sense as a hiring. Good for them. It's risky, but it might pay off in a big way. Like if they get a
we got Cam Newton, we think we're going to bring back. We need someone who can speak to children. We need someone who can identify with some immature players. Let's get a college coach.
We'll talk more about this. Also, I don't know if you guys have seen this DraftKings story that's been out there the last couple of days.
Oh, this is not good.
Mario, you got a thought on this, Joe?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
I mean, I do got a thought on it.
Yeah, he's got to be careful.
I got a thought on it.
Okay. All right. I got a thought on it, too. We'll talk about that story as well. Mm. It involves The Bachelor and DraftKings. Yes, that's what the headlines are today. The Bachelor and Bachelor in Paradise and also DraftKings. That story is well on the way. Joe Judge to the Giants. As Joe Murray mentioned, another guy who's out there in the coaching tree, but also another guy who's lost on the Patriots staff. A staff that is getting more thin every year. They're losing guys. Losing guys left and right. Another guy is gone off of the staff.
Do you think that affected them at all during this year, or the playoff run or anything like that? Like losing some of them? Like, I think O'Shea was a loss.
Hard to know.
You know, did they really have a defensive coordinator? I know yesterday we kind of got into it. Was it the offense or the defense? But, like, who was calling that defense this week, last week? Was it Mayo, Steve?
Steve Belichick?
Was it Bill?
I'm just guessing. I don't know that for sure. I'm guessing it was either Steve or Gerard Mayo, like it had been for most of the year. I doubt it was any different. That's what I would say. 617-779-0985. There's also this story about DraftKings that is very prevalent today. I've seen this story in both sports reporting, right? All over the sports websites, but it has this celebrity factor to it as well, which means it's showing up on news websites and celebrity news websites. That would be that during Wildcard Weekend, former Bachelor contestant Jade Roper won first place in DraftKings Millionaire Maker contest. However, once seasoned daily fantasy players began looking into the results, they figured out that Jade and her husband, Tanner Tolbert, had violated the site's rules by pooling their entries. You're limited to 150 entries per person. You are limited to that, which would mean 150 entries would cost you $3,000. They purchased, between their two accounts, they purchased a total of 300 entries, which is double the amount of entries, which then means you can double the amount of combinations of lineups. And in a weekend like Wild Card Weekend, when there are only four games, the number of possible lineups sort of shrinks, right? When you don't have a full slate of NFL games. So what they did was they pooled their lineups, and of the 300, I read yesterday, it was Michael McCann who had a story up on SI. And I want to pull that up right now. But what he said was of the 300 entries, 298 of them were unique.
Yeah.
right?
All but,
and so there was one duplicate? They each had one duplicate lineup?
All but seven of Roper's 150 entries had AFC quarterbacks Deshaun Watson, Josh Allen, or Ryan Tannehill at quarterback. Meanwhile, all but two of Tolbert's entries had NFC quarterbacks Carson Wentz, Drew Brees, or Russell Wilson.
Huh, interesting how those are like different days, the way they sort of split this up too. Saturday versus Sunday lineups. Yeah, one, as Michael McCann wrote, Sports Illustrated, one particularly troubling factor, 298 of the 300 lineups were unique. A highly unlikely result if the two had submitted their lineups without any prior coordination.
Okay. I get it. It's not allowed. Couldn't you accomplish almost the same thing by doing it 75 and 75? I mean, couldn't you?
No.
No. Couldn't you have 75 lineups or almost all of your 75 lineups using one and 75 of the other? I mean, no. you're
what would be the point of that? You're maxed out at 150. You don't get the advantage until you have more than 150 lineups at your disposal.
They
everyone can have 150 lineups.
All the lineups.
Yeah, you
see
win.
What I see what you're saying. I don't play fantasy. Right. I certainly don't submit.
No, it's about how unique the lineup is. It's about how many chances you have to have the maximum score with the right combination of players.
So
it's about getting more combinations, Hardy. That's what they're getting. They're able to produce more combinations for themselves by using a second account, which is not only against their rules, but is also in many states under fantasy rule a law. The laws that now govern this illegal in a lot of states. So what they did was illegal in some states and is absolutely against DraftKings rules for good reason. So now the question is, will DraftKings pay them out? They better not pay them out. Don't give these frauds their money. No way. DraftKings, don't pay these people. $1 million gained through fraud? No. Let them try and sue you.
Okay, I got a random take on this.
What is it?
I'm going to compare it to gambling and a bookie. So, reportedly, they did this for 17 weeks during the regular season.
Oh, so they've been scamming all season long.
All season long. DraftKings took their money and did nothing with it. So, they finally win. And all of a sudden, they don't pay them out. Now, if I was a bookie, okay, and I was taking money every single week from somebody, and finally one week that they win, and I know they've been doing it all year, how do I not pay them out?
The question is, were they aware? And did their system pick up on it? It's about knowledge. Were they aware that this was going
on? Because I was raking every single week at taking their money. They finally hit. I can't.
That's a good point.
That's not a good bookie.
It's a good point.
He told.
They should have something in place that can detect this.
They did
it already.
But they probably knew. He told ESPN, whether you believe this part or not.
But it were other users that figured it out, not DraftKings.
We each put in our separate players in our separate accounts and rooted for our own players. No one ever said a peep about us when we lost for 17 straight weeks.
Boom.
Then, of course, somehow Jade picked the right lineup, got the million, and the spotlight got shown on it. Here's where he's going to play the sexist card. And people, especially since she's a woman, assume that I do it all for her. If I'd want to bet no one would.
Oh, this guy's a jackass. He's expecting me to believe his story? What a clown. Who advised him to speak publicly? Do you know what the odds are of two people having a 300 combined lineups? And of the 300, mathematician will figure this out. What are the odds of two people who just casually discuss strategy and fantasy, coming up with 300 lineups and 298 of them are unique? That's a near impossibility. Get the hell out of here, you moron. You expect someone to buy that crap. Oh, no. Now that we've corrected the first one. So at the first 17 weeks, they did this, is what he said. So yes. They were spending $6,000 a week. Times the 17 weeks.
That's a lot of money.
So because they spent the 100 grand, they expect now they want their million back. Sorry, you were cheating the entire time. Nope. There's no rights for cheaters. No rights. Get out of here. I'm not paying you your million. The problem with fantasy like this, the daily fantasy, is not the websites. You know what the problem is? The users.
Yeah, the analytics.
It's always been the issue.
Yeah.
The users, they did have that scandal where someone on the inside was using data. That was a big scandal, and rightfully so. And they cracked down on that. But the biggest problem has been the users.
Yeah.
Manipulating the system, pulling crap like this so that the average player just gets hosed and sort of gets...
You don't really have a fair chance.
You get disenchanted. I'm like, I feel like I'm up against it here. I got no shot. All these, you know, computer nerds and math geeks, and I'm not messing with that. That's the problem. They have a huge problem in that industry with this.
Just going to tell you, I've worked in the tech business for years. I work with engineers who do these tests on... what's the better software, ESPN or Yahoo? And come to find out, Yahoo is the better software based off testing. And it's they don't deduct points later in the year like ESPN does. And I've tried to speak to them about some gambling things as well. And there are some analytics to it all. And you are right. It is the users. Everyone's looking for an edge, just like in football and baseball and stealing signs. So why not when it comes to this? But with gambling... when you either have a ticket or you're doing it online, there's no way to go. That's why I'm saying, if you were a good bookie,
that's why gambling's
you pay
better.
This out.
That's yes! why gambling. Yes, straight up wagering on games is better. That we all know. And the other thing is, if you're doing, you know, fantasy, the only time I play it, whether it be weekly or year long, obviously, is with people I know. It's like friendly games, mm-hmm. you know, with 20 people on a weekend. Yep. And people posted, hey, join my league for the weekend on DraftKings. Mm-hmm. That I'll do. The big stuff, forget it. I feel like it's filled with the same people that win a million. What was the guy on FanDuel? Condia, right?
Yeah.
Remember that guy on there? Yeah. He won like 4 million contests. Like, I'm not going up against this guy. I'm just destined to lose. That's a problem. Big problem in the industry with that. The users. The users themselves. 617-779-0985. Joe has headlines. We've got one more segment of your calls next.
Boston's home for sports. Zolak and Bertrand are on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Six one seven 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 nine zero ninety eight five. Paul's in Rhode Island. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Happy New Year.
Happy
Good
New
to
Year.
Hear from you.
Yeah.
Listen,
well, you called
us. Thank you. I just think that they're going to give him the money.
Brady, that is. Tom Brady?
Yes, and I think they've taken Belichick's all coaches' chess pieces away, and I think there might be a deal between Miami and the Patriots as far as players, because you know what? Let you taste what you took from us, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I just think there's something going on between Miami and New England. Yeah.
Really? Okay. We'll have to explore that theory another day.
Hmm. Who's going where?
No idea with him. You never know.
Brady, do what you do. Did them.
Let
that's his
you
theme music
feel
for Paul in Rhode Island.
Uh-huh.
What you do to us.
You get a taste of it.
Taste of what you do to us.
Maybe on the field, like all the winning that the Patriots have done against Miami, I guess. And there's a deal, and Brady goes to Miami, to the Dolphins, but he said that the Patriots are going to pay Brady. That's what he thinks happens.
Yes.
They're going to pay him.
Well, that's part of getting a taste of what you do to us.
None of it ever makes any sense. Never. Ed's in Shrewsbury. Ed.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, Ed.
Hi.
What's going on?
I just had a comment on the whether or not the DraftKings were going to pay out to two people. I do a lot of gambling. I could have done that with any 2, 3, 4, 5 friends that I know, and there'd be no, quote, connection, as there seemed to be here, and it was the exact same thing. It's nonsensical that they would say that just because these two happen to be in a relationship, oh, they discovered something, you know, untoward. It's nonsense. As a gambler...
And like if you said, did that with your friends, it would also be against the rules. It doesn't matter if they're married or not.
But they would know. They would not know, in quotes.
Yeah, that's,
yeah,
what
that's part of the problem.
You think they're the only two people doing this?
No, I don't. No one suggested that they were. And Ed, if you and your friends are doing it, you're wrong too. You're part of the problem. And that would be illegal in some states. Michael McCann has a great story on this, as do others out there today, on some of the legal ramifications.
And if he's
of
a
this.
Gambler and you and, did it in Vegas, they'd figure it out.
And if you're a regulator in one of these states, I'd be going to DraftKings right now and saying, what do you have in place to stop this from happening,
yeah.
by the way? Because you didn't even catch them. From what I've read on this story, DraftKings did not catch them, right? Other users did?
Yep.
That is alarming. Where the hell were you on this? And is this happening on your site every weekend? They did it for 17 weeks. And you don't have some sort of program or algorithm or something that notices what you've got going on there that can suspect that there is fraud being committed? not just against you, but against other users. As a consumer protection, what the hell do you have in place? It's a legitimate question for those guys today. That's what they have to answer. So, Ed, if you did that, you'd be in the wrong, too. Like, nonsensical. No, it actually makes all the sense in the world. They have a rule that caps you at 150 entries that says, do not conspire with others to gain more entries. So because they maybe would have not caught you, that makes it okay? And that makes them nonsensical? Get out of here.
What I don't understand about
that guy. You
sound
as foolish as the guy who's trying to say that him and his wife just casually talk about fantasy sports and then happen to submit 298 unique lineups.
I apologize to all the gamblers out there, but what's he trying to get at? I gamble a lot. Yeah. You might be able to get away with that, but like, this is a platform. This is where they give you 150 lineups. Like, if you're going to gamble and do something different, you're still going to lose somewhere, somehow, and the house is still going to win. So I don't understand how him and his friends could get that together. That doesn't make sense to me.
Well, he's just saying he could replicate what the husband and wife did with friends.
Right.
So, and you know what? They could take it even further. Hey, between three friends, we're just buddies. You don't know that we're friends, right?
But didn't
Joe, if you
like
call
this?
Two friends, right? If you go home today and you call two of your friends and say, hey, these are my lineups. You do these lineups, you do these. There's nothing that links us. We all live in different places. You know, we're not legally associated in any way other than we're buddies. And we agree, whoever wins, we split it three ways. If we win the million, we split it three ways.
I don't know why, but this sounds familiar. Like, it happens, and there's been an event. I don't know why, but this story sounds familiar. Where people were involved in something and lived in different states. I don't know. I'm going to look this up. But this sounds familiar. Like, if what this guy's saying.
You know
saying,
what it is? You know what it's called? It's called a scam. You're running a scam.
Collusion.
You're conspiring to steal money. That is a scam. And you're hosing a bunch of other people in the process. Not okay. Not cool. Dave in the car. Hi, Dave.
Hey, what's going on? So this is a big problem for DraftKings because obviously they just announced they're going public and they don't want this to be, you know, a scandal, but they have these two users. They're two of the, you know, the face of their company, Chipotle Addict and Puffergate, and they're brothers, and they do the same thing all the time. They've been called out numerous times by people. People have looked into their entries and, you know, there's been times where they do the same thing. They enter 300 contests. And one of them will have, you know, Zach Greinke in 148, and the other one won't have him at all. And they're doing the same exact thing, and DraftKings has never done anything about it. So DraftKings is in a really tough spot right now.
Sure. I mean, I don't know anything about that particular story, but just this one by itself. You don't even need to know of any other examples of it. This one by itself should raise red flags. And like I've said, the problem? It's not so much the system as it is the users themselves. The users have always been the issue. That's what I've always sort of thought. Paul's in New Hampshire on Tom Brady. Where's he going, Paul?
Hey, guys. How are you? I want to let you know something. I think the Patriots really screwed up the end of last season when they didn't sign Brady to a 2-3-year contract and lynch him in for a couple, at least two, maybe three, because they don't even have time now to train a new guy. You know what I mean? With Brady there, they can bring in a fresh guy from college and train him the Patriots way. But, I mean, they just kind of crapped on this guy.
What they do is, I mean, listen, I want Brady to go nowhere and stay right here, but what did they do with Stidham all year?
Oh, here's my question. Why? I don't believe Belichick for a minute, not Belichick, Kraft, when he says, oh, we're giving you what you want. You wanted to make your choice and all that. I think Brady really wanted his contract the end of last season, not now. And that's just my opinion. I think if they would have said, hey, we're going to make you put a franchise tag on you. We want you. We love you. Rather than play this money game, now look, like you said, who's going to be the quarterback?
Sure, but it's never too late to pay somebody. And you can pay him right now, and he'd be happy to stay. He's not so burned by it that he's looking to run out the door. He just wants money. He wants to be paid now. It's never too late to say we're going to pay you. And so I think all would be forgotten if he were to come back and get a contract to his liking. But when you do see those comments, it's all about him and his decision. You start feeling like that's not going to come to fruition for him. Those comments made the odds go down just a little bit for me.
Yeah, yeah. And it all comes back to, you know, what's Brady's decision? in all this? You know, what is he going to decide is the most important thing for him? Is it to keep playing for the two more years? Is it to get the most money for it? Which I can't believe that the dollar amount, you know, the total dollar amount, like we were talking about in the beginning of the show, Beto, is going to be the most important thing. You know, it's going to be about how much he wants to play. Really, I think that's, and the answer is going to range anywhere from zero to unlimited. But that's really going to decide everything. How much more does he want to play? If it's for a year, you've got a lot of takers. If it's 2 years, number of takers, I think, drops considerably, and maybe even here in New England, that's their cutoff point. If it's beyond that and you've decided now at this point, no, I want to play actually until I'm 47. I've decided I got five more years in me. Well, then the pool dwindles down to almost nothing. So if he really wants the most options, if that's what he said, you know, going back to the beginning of the year and what Brady said, the most important thing to him is the ability and the freedom to do whatever he wants. Well, you're going to have the most opportunity each time you add another year to you say what you want, your opportunities are going to decrease almost exponentially. You know, that's what you want, the most freedom. Keep it to a year or two at the most, and then you'll have all kinds of opportunity.
Toucher and Rich of 98.5, the Sports Hub, of course, and the Boston Bruins present Pucks and Paddles Friday, January 17th at Royale. That is coming up next Friday. It's the annual ping pong tournament that benefits Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center and the Boston Bruins Foundation. Bid right now to play with your favorite Bruins player or TNR. To bid, go to 98.5thesportshub.com. Pucks and Paddles is presented by Coors Light and sponsored by Honda, ACP Facility Services, and Clear Path for Veterans of New England. Get to our website, 98.5thesportshub.com, for all of the details on that event and a chance to bid to play with your favorite Bruins player or Toucher and Rich. You can do that right now. We've got today's takeaways. They're coming your way right after this.
Solotherapy.com.
They give.
Give it to me! Give it to me now, damn it!
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day!
And they give.
I love breaking news!
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Today's takeaway is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your January consultation today. Call or go online to awaken180weightloss.com and make 2020 the last time losing weight is your New Year's resolution. The takeaways are here. We got some good ones today. Good news on the Zoe front. It appears he will be back here tomorrow. So good news there. Sorry, Joe.
No, it's okay.
I liked having you here the last couple days.
I feel weird without Zoe and Jim here. It's different.
Yeah, it is a different feel. Jim back tomorrow as well. We assume. The dumbest 30 seconds of this show, I think, took place today.
Dumbest ever?
I mean,
today's show.
Pretty damn dumb. I'll say that. Uh-oh. It definitely wasn't smart. Here it is with Shaughnessy.
Work.
Alex Cora was there in 17 in Houston. He was there in 18 in Boston. Alex Cora likes to employ cheating methods to be better at baseball. He wants his teams to win.
I wouldn't use the word cheating methods. What he will own up to is he likes to steal signs.
Beetlewood.
What else do you want to call it?
Well, there's organic, you know, just good investigative sign stealing, and then there's cheating with electronic devices.
Which one was he doing?
I don't know. I mean, if these charges are true.
That was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show. What the hell are you talking about? And don't say the word cheating. Don't call it cheating. But Dan believes, and he didn't say it in that clip, but that they were doing it. That they were using electronic sign stealing in Houston in 17, and then again they were doing it here in 18.
Yeah.
So what the hell is he talking about?
I don't know. It threw me
off.
Oh,
don't call it cheating, though. Why not? You did.
It threw me off when Dan wanted to give somebody the benefit of the doubt. Like, what are you doing? What do you mean?
Oh, don't go so far as to call it cheating.
What?
What are you talking about?
You love doing that.
It's cheating. Dan showing a restraint with the Red Sox that he would not show with the Patriots. Interesting.
But But he normally doesn't show with the Red Sox either. So that's
It's weird. Very weird. You know what it is? It's Alex Cora. He likes Alex Cora. Everyone likes Alex Cora. Likeable guy.
Is he any less likable today after this?
I still like him just fine. He likes to win. He's using everything available to him. And as we know, as a Patriots fan would tell you, everybody was doing it. Right, right. Come on, guys. Everybody was doing it. All right. That was the dumb 30 seconds of the day. Host not listening happened today.
No. How to tell when the hosts aren't listening.
I actually know this song.
Okay.
It's I Saw the Sign.
Yeah. Fitting, right?
Yeah. What's the band?
Ace of Base.
Oh, yeah. I knew that at one time. Well, it's so rare that I know anything that you guys come back with.
Do you know the name of the song? Do you know why we're playing it?
He just said that.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
This has been How to Tell When the Hosts Aren't Listening.
Not good.
I didn't think
Not
it was that Joe. Bad in the moment, Joe. It's pretty bad.
Pretty bad.
That's pretty bad. Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Do we have time for Harvey, the call from Connecticut?
Oh, please.
Yeah, maybe a little bit of
that. A little bit of that?
Yeah.
Chris in Hartford is hot on the Red Sox cheating scandal today. Chris.
Hey, Beetle, how are you?
Good. What's up?
Hey, Harvey, how you doing?
Excellent.
Good. Hey, listen, I called about 2 months ago, speaking about the lack of running that Cora did. Remember that call,
yes.
Beetle? And I was pretty hard on Dan. Well, guess what? I'm definitely not stupid, Harvey. I was all over it, and you didn't fill in the blanks, buddy. We stole 125 bases, and then this year we stole 68. Hey, let me ask you something, Harvey. How many one-run games? How many one-run games did we lose this year, buddy? Red Sox. Come on. You know it. You're a professional, right?
Well, no, there's no one named
31.
There's no one named Harvey here, genius.
I can call you whatever I want. Harvey, 31. We had 21 run games.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I
don't care. Why are you yelling at me? What did I say?
The strangest call we had all day. I don't understand his anger for Hardy. I don't even understand what he's bringing up about stuff. Whatever. Who cares?
You know how many one-run
buddy?
How many one-run games?
Harvey?
Well, I looked it up 15 seconds ago, so I'm smart. Not dumb, like everyone says. I'm smart, and I want respect.
If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver, all the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew. 30 seconds. That's it. Done. Peace.